Here we are back with the sports sermon this week. We have what's might turn the boys' office into flames tonight. We've got an MLB Hall of Fame debate with two great guests here, MLB experts. We have Editor-in-Chief Graham Pirro.
Hello, everyone.
And we have Features Editor Alex Boyd.
Hey, everybody.
So today, we are going to get into some heated debate about performance-enhancing drugs and the MLB. First off, just want to recap last week's cold take of the week. It was tough to choose because there were a lot of pretty cold takes thrown around last week. We all sucked. But I got to go with Johnny because he said Antonio Brown would have four touchdowns against the Patriots, but the Steelers didn't even score 28 points, equivalent to four touchdowns, and lost 36-17. Brown had zero touchdowns, so sorry, Johnny. Shout out to Parker. He was very close to being right. He said the Falcons would win by 28. They actually won 44-21. So that was a good take. Shout out to Parker. So let's get into today's schedule programmed, which is PEDs in baseball. Just, you know, a little history. You know, the two big performance-enhancing drugs that were used in baseball are amphetamines, which supposedly increase strength, speed, stamina, and quickness for, you know, what was a pretty short period of time. You know, stars like Goose Gossage, Mike Schmidt, Miguel Tejada admitted to using amphetamines in previous games. They were legal for a while, I think, right?
Till 05.
Till 05. Wow, that's really late.
Yeah.
But, and then on the other side, you have steroids, human growth hormone, definitely the most popular, which increased, you know, strength through bigger bone muscle and mass. You know, you needed to take them, work out. It was more of a long-term thing. Steroids were banned in 1991, but the MLB actually didn't test for them until 2003, which is kind of interesting, when they started their testing program. And in 2013, the MLB added random in-season testing, which has been in effect ever since. One of the really big stories, you know, that kind of kicked off this whole steroid conversation was the book Juiced that was authored by Jose Canseco, in which he alleged that 80% of players used some kind of steroid or amphetamine in games, which is pretty crazy. You know, some of the most notable steroid users we'll talk about today. So, you know, first, before we get into the whole Hall of Fame aspect of things, I want to ask you guys, you know, do you think there's any kind of distinction between amphetamines and steroids, or do they all kind of fall under the same umbrella?
I don't tend to distinguish between the two. Any sort of performance enhancers I categorize as the same, whether or not they're legal or illegal. And I can get more into that later.
Right.
But that's just
So I also don't really distinguish between amphetamines and steroids. My big distinction is between legal and illegal. So the brief period when amphetamines were legal and steroids weren't, I consider them very different things and judge people who use them in very different ways. But back when they were both legal and now when they're both illegal, I don't really see a difference between the two.
Yeah, for sure. And now just, you know, to give a little update on what the current MLB policy is for positive tests. You know, your first positive test result for a banned substance is an 80-game suspension at this point. Your second positive test result is 162 games, so the whole season. That includes the postseason if your team makes it. And the third positive test result would end up as a lifetime ban from the MLB, which, unfortunately, Jenry Mejia, a Mets – I think he's a relief pitcher, right? You're a Mets fan, right?
Yeah, he was our former closer.
Oh, former closer.
Former closer, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so in 2016, it was his third positive test, and he has since been banned from the MLB, mm-hmm. which is pretty crazy.
First player since Pete Rose to be banned for life.
Crazy. So now
– I love the Mets.
Yeah. So now let's get into the Hall of Fame debate a little bit, because I know that, you know, these two guys are really excited to get at each other here. But just a little overview of the process. So the Baseball Writers Association votes on who gets into the Hall of Fame. There are over 700 members, but they're distinguished as like members for life, and some don't actually end up voting, which is kind of strange. A player needs 75% of the vote to make the Hall of Fame. And so it doesn't matter the total number of votes. It's just the percentage of who votes, which, again, I kind of think is pretty weird. And finally, if a player is on the ballot for 10 years and never gets the 75%, they're dropped from contention. And they would also be dropped from contention if they yield less than 5% in a given year. In 2017, the voting just finished. We had players such as Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, Yvonne Rodriguez get inducted, and then also Bud Selig, the former MLB commissioner, got in. Graham's shaking his head, doesn't like him. So now I want to get into the conversation. You know, in the 2017 voting, we had guys, you know, noted PED users, admitted PED users, some of them. Roger Clemens got 54.1% of the vote. Barry Bonds got 53.8% of the vote. Manny Ramirez got 23.8% of the vote, and Sammy Sosa got 8.6% of the vote. So let's get into the conversation. You know, do you guys think that PED users should be allowed in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, that's my blanket answer. And I think to justify that, I think you have to look at the context that a lot of the steroid use took place in. I'm going to define sort of the steroid era, the real steroid era in baseball, as 1995 to 2005. Because if you look at the MLB in 1994, it was right after the work stoppage happened, and there was a strike, there was no World Series. The season was shortened that year. And baseball was in a very bad way. It had lost a lot of popularity. A lot of the fans were angry at the league for mistreating the players during negotiations. Baseball was in a really bad way in 1995. And what saved baseball was the steroid era. And I will always maintain this opinion because towards the end of the 90s, you had the home run race between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, which was the most exciting baseball had been in a very long time. A big part of that was a result of the steroid use by the players involved. But it was exciting to watch. There were home runs. The storylines off the field were great. It was compelling television. You also had the Yankee dynasty, which was trying to be taken down. They had a lot of players. As a Yankees fan, I will admit that they had a good number of players who were using steroids. But I think that at the moment, steroids help save baseball. And if you're going to let – the reason why I shook my head at Bud Selig earlier is that if you're going to let him in, the guy who oversaw this and did nothing and just kind of helped the league along and then after the fact came back and condemned the use of steroids, if you're going to let him in, I think you should also let the players in. So that's my
– I don't disagree with that at all. That's why I don't think Selig should be in either. I don't think any of them should be in. I don't dispute that it was probably a huge moment for the sport in a time where it really needed – huge entertainment factor, but I think the entertainment value in sports is kind of the magical human achievement that we all get to witness. If we just wanted to see balls get hit 600 feet, we would put up robots who could do it on command. That's not why we watch sports. We watch sports because we like to see actual human beings do this, people who live next door to us in our communities, people who have cultivated their talent through hard work and determination, and of course natural talent that most of us can't even dream of. And even if it was good for ratings and good for getting the sport back on track, I don't think that we can reward these guys for what they did by putting them into the Hall. The Hall of Fame for me isn't just a museum or a historical record. It is the highest achievement, the highest honor that can be bestowed upon a professional baseball player. And I think those players have to show an equal respect for the game that the game shows to them by electing them into the Hall, and I don't think those players deserve that.
So I'm going to go off of that and say that the Hall of Fame, from its very beginning, has been tainted, and it's never been pure. The way that – don't get me wrong. I love the sport of baseball. It has been part of my life since I was very little, and I would love to see the sport pure and without any cheating whatsoever. But the fact is, ever since the beginning of baseball, there's been cheating, and it's just taken on different forms, whether it's been steroid use, amphetamines, or doctoring balls, spit balls, pine tar, all that jazz. There are a lot of people in the Hall of Fame who have cheated in various ways, whether it was amphetamines use. There have been allegations that people, like players like Mickey Mantle, took amphetamines, but also doctoring balls. That was something that was very popular way back when, and a lot of those pitchers, guys like Gaylord Perry, who have admitted publicly that they cheated by doctoring the balls. I think that if you're allowing those players in, and I think that in turn taints the Hall, and then I think I'm not comfortable holding this holding modern day players to a higher moral standard, or going back and being revisionist about it and removing those players from the Hall because they cheated. I think that we have to acknowledge the fact that although it would be nice if the Hall of Fame was this great bastion of baseball purity, it's not.
So I agree. I think the Hall is absolutely tainted. And I'm sure that there are players who are in the Hall now who have used steroids. Pudge Rodriguez did, you know, never even denied using steroids. I think that's something that we can all agree on, is that it's been tainted since the very beginning. It will probably always be tainted. But to me, I don't think that that means that we should just give in. I think that there's always something more we can do to try to clean up the game and its highest honor. You know, everyone can agree that Ty Cobb was a horrible, horrible human being. I agree that we can't retroactively kick people out of the Hall that are already in it. So to me, that means that the process that we should take is to ensure that from now on, the players that we allow in not even represent the game to a high threshold, but don't disrespect its most basic and fundamental rules. You know, I think if players had access to steroids back in the day, I'm sure they would have taken it, and I would have said absolutely back then the same thing, that they don't deserve to be in the Hall. I don't think the fact that just because cheating has occurred in the past means that cheating should be tolerated now. I think if you adopt that perspective, then that's going to incentivize cheating in the future. If people know I can still get in the Hall even if I take steroids, you know, I can get caught twice without being banned for life, then that's something that I can do, and I can put up great numbers and get great endorsements and make a ton of money. And I don't think that we can encourage that.
Okay. No, I see what you're saying. I think that right now what the MLB has in place, because of the stigma, especially that gets put on players, guys like Ryan Braun, Alex Rodriguez, who,
yeah,
as a Yankee fan, I followed the whole Biogenesis scandal, just everything that he had to endure from the media in New York. I actually am going to disagree and say that I don't think it incentivizes players, because if you publicly get outed as a steroid user, I don't think the Hall of Fame at that point matters, because your reputation across baseball is ruined. And I think that that in and of itself is enough to disincentivize players from using steroids. And especially because the MLB has such stringent policies now and such harsh punishments. So I just don't think that we can say, as of right now at this date, say that, okay, we're going to apply this moral standard to players after a certain date. Because I think that that's – I mean, if you're going to not allow – I mean, I think Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are eventually going to get in. But if you're not going to allow certain players in because they use steroids, specifically because they use steroids, what is the criteria then? Are you going to say after a certain date, like after, say, if you play baseball after 2000, you're not going to be allowed in because your career was impacted by steroids? I would be okay if they went in, like if they said from, you know, from 2016 on or something like that. I'd be okay with that. But I just don't think that we can apply this standard to guys like Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, who, like I said earlier, were part of a system that encouraged, not necessarily encouraged, but was stood by complacently in steroid use. And I don't think it's fair to them to exclude them from the Hall while previously allowing people who consistently cheated in.
Well, I think that I'm against anyone who cheated from getting into the Hall, who, you know, cheated systematically and repeatedly and did show remorse. I think that if they had the means to observe all the actions of the players back in the day and were able to catch people cheating repeatedly, I would absolutely agree that they should be allowed in the Hall. I agree that you can't retroactively punish people who were steroid users and got away with it and, you know, punish them now. I think you have to draw the line when it became illegal. It's just like any rule. If you break a rule, you should be punished for it. If you took steroids before it was illegal, you didn't break any rule. So in my mind, we can't punish you for it. I still think it's really morally wrong, but what can you do? It wasn't breaking the rules. So in my mind, it's 91. If you took if you were caught taking steroids after 91, you broke the rule. You shouldn't belong in the Hall. And, you know, I think people, there is a stigma to steroids now. But look at D. Gordon. He got suspended 80 games. You know, when he's a free agent, he's going to get a monster contract. He's one of the best in the game. He's going to get millions upon millions. He's going to get a multi-year deal from somebody. I don't think the stigma is enough. I think there needs to be more. I think that we as a baseball community, whether it's the players, the owners, the fans, we all have to take a stand and say, we're not going to tolerate this in our game. We have to be better than that as a whole.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. One thing that really is kind of tough for me, at least, to deal with is the fact that there's this huge space in between when it became illegal and when the testing started.
Right.
And, like, we literally have no idea what was going on during that time. Like, a lot of really great players have been inducted, and, like, I don't want to, like, throw anything out there, but, like, guys like Cal Ripken, you know, like, that whole era, like, that's just hard for me to think about because, like, it was illegal, but there was no form of informing the public or testing for it and actually, you know, figuring out that people were taking steroids. So that's definitely a problem for me in the whole conversation.
I think that's a good point because, like, it would have been ideal if they could have outlawed them and then immediately started testing. Right. But, I mean, I guess I look at it in the same way as throwing a spitball or doctoring the ball somehow. That's been illegal since the beginning of baseball, or at least I think it became legal after the dead ball era in 1920. Mm-hmm. But pitchers still did that. For example, David Cone, even though he's not in the Hall of Fame, he probably won't get inducted. I think he should, but probably won't. He admitted that he doctored the ball when he was out on the mound, and I'm sure other players did as well. I guess I maybe not equivalent, but I look at steroids and doctoring the ball and or using a cork bat as very similar things in that you're trying to give yourself an advantage, whether it's your body or the ball when you're pitching it. So I think that if we – again, the perfect scenario would have been outlawing and the testing, but that 12-year gap I think is where most of the impacts of steroids came in, and that was the time period I was talking about, 1995. So yeah, so testing started in 2003. Just for background. And the time period that I really look at the peak of steroid use is 95 to 2005. And I think that if you're going to let people in who cheated via doctoring the ball or using spitballs or cork bats in the past, I don't think – if you're going to choose a date, I personally would say probably 2003 would be a good starting point because that's when they started testing. So because we don't know exactly now who else used steroids between 91 and 2003.
Yeah, so even though I'm about as strict as a strict traditionalist as you can get when it comes to steroids, something I can't get on board is a witch hunt or any kind of McCarthyism, accusing players of taking steroids that you don't have proof. There's a lot of flack given to Piazza and Bagwell, who are now both finally in the Hall, who never tested positive for anything. And I think unless there's definitive proof or these guys admitted it themselves, you have to assume that they didn't. I think that if even one person who's deserving doesn't get into the Hall or their name is tainted in the process of trying to pick and choose every single person who might have taken steroids, then I don't think it's worth it to me. I think in my mind, people who shouldn't be allowed in the Hall are guys who definitively took steroids, either by their own admission or it's been proven or they failed the test. I see the cork bat and the spitball comparison. I think it's slightly different just because of the permanence of steroids and the long-term effects. But I don't disagree that they're all forms of cheating and you should cheat cheating the same way. And that's why I say anyone who's a repeated cheater shouldn't be allowed in the Hall. So if someone did that by constantly using a spitball, they shouldn't be allowed in the Hall. Guys like Pineda using the tar on their neck, I don't think that's the kind of –
if he can have the stats again the Hall, I don't care yeah. about whether or not he gets yeah. the Hall because the Yankees will probably win.
Well, I just think that's a one-time thing. But if that's something that he's doing repeatedly, then I don't think something like that would be allowed in the Hall. I agree any kind of cheating should be treated the same way. And I think we have to be as hard as we can on any kind of cheating.
So, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. What – okay. Is it any sort of steroid use whatsoever? Like, say – take the situation that Andy Pettit had where he admitted that he used HGH when he was rehabbing an elbow injury.
Right.
I forget the exact year. But using that one time, admitting to it, and not having it – well, it sped along his recovery.
Yeah, yeah.
But it didn't – there was no marked change in how he pitched. It was just the fact that he was able to rehab quicker. Is that – would he not be allowed in the Hall because of that?
So I think it's definitely contextual, and I don't want to say no one should ever be allowed in the Hall ever. I think in Pettit – first off came forward and showed remorse and was a one-time thing. That's something, I would absolutely consider voting him into the Hall. I don't view him as a repeated offender or anything like that. When it comes to all the big names, the guys who lied about it and did it year after year after year, and it was so obvious, and especially guys who, brought their own team to court to try to deny it, them I have no sympathy for. I think it really comes down to, do you show genuine remorse? Was it a repeated thing? And with Pettit, I think it is definitely different. So I think it is contextual. but I think that you do have to take a very hard stance on it as a whole.
So one question I want to pose is, you know, the whole thing that I think started this conversation was I was on Twitter and I saw this really interesting tweet from Jason Stark, who's an ESPN baseball analyst, and he's a voter for the Hall of Fame. And he released his ballot, and he voted for both Bonds and Clemens this year. And someone angrily replied to him and was like, steroids are a huge black mark for the MLB. You know, why'd you vote for him? Why'd you vote for them? I'm disappointed. And his quote, or his tweet said this. He said, quote, this is a vote for the Hall as a history museum, not a hall of purity. We shouldn't pretend the all-time home run champ and Cy Young champ never played. So what do you guys think of that? Because, you know, I think there's, you know, where we're at here is there's a difference between looking at the Hall of Fame as kind of this beacon of like the game's history and looking at it as like these are the best players that have ever played. Like, I think there's like a fundamental difference there, and I want to get your takes on
that. Yeah, 100% there is. So in my mind, I agree. You can't whitewash the history of baseball. You can't pretend things didn't happen. These guys were gigantic parts of the game. We shouldn't forget them, you know, no matter what complexity surrounded their careers. So if you've been to the Hall, you know that they're not just ignored. They are there. They're in Cooperstown. You know, there's plenty of exhibits about the steroid era. I think it's different from having a plaque. This, I don't think Cooperstown ignores guys who they don't let in, who've had enormous impacts on the game, and I don't think that they should. I would be all for an exhibit on the steroid era because I think it's an important part of history. But I don't think you get a plaque next to all the greats if you cheated. That's, to my mind, you know, I think that the Hall of Fame can have a history component, but I think being inducted is something separate. I don't think you should ignore history, but the pinnacle of, you know, the greatest honor you can achieve, that has to be something even more selective than being represented as a historical figure.
Yeah, I touched on this earlier, but I would love to see the Hall of Fame. I would love the Hall of Fame to be this bastion of a baseball great and baseball purity. It isn't. I don't think that doesn't necessarily mean it can't be. So if, again, I would prefer if they said, okay, after a certain day from here on out, no more steroid, like in the future, no more steroid users will be admitted into the Hall. I'd be okay with that because I think that that's perfectly fine. If they want to clean up the Hall of Fame, I think that's great. But even if they do that, or even if they don't let steroid users in now, I still think that the Hall will be forever tainted by the cheaters who are already in it. I mean, yeah, you said like the plaques next to the other baseball greats, next to other baseball greats who also cheated. So I think I have to stick to my argument that I don't think that the Hall of Fame is this great pinnacle of greatness.
So it's not. And you're right. They would be next to other plaques of people who cheated. So does that mean we should add more cheating plaques to the wall? I think that if we keep these guys out and from now on, we have the highest of standards for the people allowed in the Hall, that it will never erase the cheaters who are already there. But maybe it will dilute them a little bit. I think that it will clean up the Hall to an, you know, as much as it can be at this point. It can never be completely redeemed. But I think that we just worsen the problem by letting, you know, similar people in.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's definitely fair. And I guess I still think that we can't apply contemporary norms to the players, the more recent steroid users than the ones in the past. So guys like Clemens, who played at the peak of the steroid era and really were some of the most exciting pitchers to watch.
Because other guys were using steroids at the same time, that means that it's okay that he was?
No. What I'm saying is that applying this value or this standard that, okay, if you use steroids, we're not going to let you in after a certain point, I don't think that's fair to those players because when they were using steroids, no one was stopping them. No one was saying this is bad because it was such a culture of – basically a culture of just allowing them to do this in order to get baseball – like I was saying earlier, Budsy like just kind of sat by and watched as baseball was able to come back. But I think with that being said, if we look at them now and them trying to get into the Hall of Fame, I think it's unfair to all of a sudden turn around and say – that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. We're going to punish you for that. Even if at the time, no one said anything.
So that's the thing. I think it was wrong even then. It was illegal since 91. So anyone who used steroids since 91 knew that they were breaking the rules. So in my mind, that's not going back and saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't have done that back then. I know we weren't hard on you. Even if they didn't enforce it, that was the rules. You broke the rules. They knew what they were getting into. I have no sympathy for people who knowingly broke the rules of the game. I don't think of it as us retroactively punishing someone. I think it'd be a different story if we punish people who used steroids while they were legal. I would never advocate for that. But these guys knew exactly what they were doing. They knew the risks that they were taking, and it was worth it to them. They didn't care.
Yeah, and I think that that's a very good point. But I think that I still have issues with all of a sudden turning around and saying you shouldn't have done that now, when at the time everyone was allowing it to happen. And I'm trying to think of the right word.
But it wasn't allowed.
But I mean, if you look at interviews with players who played during the 90s,
right?
They said that, oh yeah, everyone was doping.
Right. So
and
why should
it was
we...
it was an environment where, and they say that the major league administration, the guys above, they knew about it also. They just didn't say anything because the results were good and the baseball was back. Baseball was popular again. And then there came this turning point where they all of a sudden decided, okay, we have the rules now. We have to enforce the rules. Because I think there's a big difference between having a rule saying you can't do this and enforcing the rule saying that you can't do that. And there was – even if the rule was on the books in 91, there was no enforcement of it until 2003 when they started testing. So – even though they knew, I absolutely agree. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad for the players. They made millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
And played in great baseball games and absolute classics. Yeah, no, I would gladly take steroids for that. But I still think that it's the wrong precedent to set by saying that we should now, we took advantage of your cheating and now we're going to punish you for it. I think that's the wrong thing to say for the league to do, because the league definitely took advantage of their cheating.
I don't disagree with that, but I also don't think that the fact that cheating was systematic justifies it or dilutes what they did in any way. And that's why I think Seelig shouldn't go into the hall either. I blame the entire game during
yeah.
the
no
the
Seelig going in. My thing is, if you're going to let Seelig in, you should let the steroid users in.
I understand that, and I guess that's why for me, I vehemently believe Seelig should not belong in it. Because like you said, he didn't enforce it to the extent that he could have.
Yeah.
So for me, the fact that other people were doing it doesn't make it any better. You know, I get that it wasn't enforced. Maybe it was even quietly encouraged. No, I'm sure even managers knew. That's no secret to anybody. But these guys still knew that it was against the rules and they were disrespecting the game for it. And you still have, even if Canseco was right and everyone and their mother was taking steroids, you still have, you know, anomalies like Frank Thomas, who never, you know, touched anything. And I think it disrespects him and what he was able to accomplish doing it the right way when you let these other guys sit right next to him in the hall. And yeah, he's going to already be sitting next to the cheaters. But I think that we owe it to him to make sure that from now on, we only let guys in who put in the same dedication and determination that he did, and not guys who took the easy way out. And it was the easy way out. Even if everyone was taking it, even if it was encouraged, it was the easy way out, and it doesn't respect the game, and it's a bad example.
Yeah, and so as a last word, I will say that I'm making this argument in a post-Bud Selig getting inducted. I think if they don't induct Bud Selig, my argument would be much different. I don't know if I would necessarily think this, but I think now that they've inducted Bud Selig, if they're going to let him in, I think that they have to analyze these players regardless of steroid use.
Yeah.
That's my final.
Nice.
Final argument.
So just to close it up here, just some of the percentages. You know, I think you guys said Clemens and Bonds are obviously – I think it's fair to say they're going to get in eventually. In 2016, Clemens was at about 45%. He jumped, like I said, to 2017 at 54%, which is a decent-sized jump for 1 year. Bonds was at 44% in 2016. He jumped to 53, almost 54. So, again, roughly a 10-point jump. If we see that same kind of jump you know, over the next few years, I think they'll be in 1, 2, maybe 3 years. One last thing I want to talk about kind of quick, because it's pretty related, but not really.
Can I just say real quick, Vlad Guerrero should have been first round. No question, should have been first ballot. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he should have, definitely. And Ken Griffey Jr. should have had 100%, but I digress.
No, yeah, we can all agree on that. Yeah.
You know, one thing is just Pete Rose through this whole conversation, because it's kind of similar. You know, he wasn't a PED user, but he was, you know, the whole thing with gambling on games and when he was a player and a coach, and he was declared ineligible. He's the MLB hits leader. So, you know, the MLB hits leader is not in the Hall of Fame, which is kind of ridiculous. And Boyd, I'm kind of curious for your opinion, because he technically didn't cheat. He just did, like, a shitty thing that he shouldn't have done. But, like, it wasn't really cheating. So do you think he should be in the Hall?
Yeah, I actually do. I actually would definitely be open to him being in the Hall if he showed genuine remorse and he issued an apology. Because, like you said, he didn't cheat. He's a bad guy. I don't like him as a person. And I don't think he showed complete respect for the game himself. But when it came to a commitment to playing, he never wavered in terms of playing hard every day, doing it the right way. His talent was, you know, untainted, and he played with integrity when he was on the field. His talent remained, kept its integrity. So I have no problem with him getting in. I think it's probably silly to punish him as much as you'd punish Mejia, who was a complete idiot and showed zero respect for playing the game and took the easy way out. That's not the situation with Rose. And I think, especially with Manfred, now is probably the appropriate time for him to get in. I think he paid his dues waiting so long.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here justifying steroid use for half an hour and all of a sudden say. I mean, yeah, I actually don't know that much about this issue, I have to admit. Initially, my thought was no, because I think gambling could be different, because then you're actually trying to affect the outcome. And you're not necessarily excelling. Like, you're not trying to be your best. You're not trying to improve your own game. But I'm assuming, did Rose bet on himself?
I think he never bet against himself ever.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, in that scenario, and then, again, I'm not going to justify steroid use and then say keep Pete Rose out. I think you look at his accomplishments, he should be in the Hall of Fame. I guess I don't think that character matters that much when it comes to the Hall. Like, if the other comparison I use is, like, if Curt Schilling was on the ballot, I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
He's a terrible guy, but questionable
human being, but definitely an unbelievable ball player.
Yeah, I agree. I think that character has to be separated from, I guess, how you respect the game itself. And so that's why with Rose and, you know, Schilling, terrible guys, I think they belong in the Hall, because in terms of what they did for the game and what they put into the game, that should be honored. Even if they, as human beings, should never be. Their accomplishments are genuine and should be honored.
Yeah, I think for sure that's the argument. So this was – I wish it got a little more heated, but it was
a lot of substantive discussion here.
But so that's going to conclude our debate today. Definitely fair points on both sides. I can't pick a side because it was – no, I swear. It was very balanced. I see where both of you guys are coming from. You know, the whole
I think this is the best kind of debate to have.
You're both enablers.
You're the game.
Bud Selig was enabling. That is the word I was looking for. Bud Selig enabled.
There you go. So just a few plugs for our Twitter handles. If you want to follow our Voice Sports page, it's at GU Voice Sports. Our Halftime Sports and Leader blog is at Halftime GU. Or if you're interested in either pro or anti-steroid tweets, you can follow any of us. I am at Nick Gavio.
I'm AlexBoyd81. I'm sure I'll be tweeting about this nonstop.
I will be GPR22. I also want to have one last note that Mike Messina deserves to be on the first ballot for the Hall of Fame.
That's a side note. First ballot as well.
Yes.
Fair enough. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.